This series is intended for a mature audience and contains material that some may find disturbing. For specific content warnings, please see the episode description. Previously on Look Behind You. It's New Year's Eve, 2042, and Oliver Valentine, an aging, superstition-riddled runner in a lucky tracksuit, is coaxed out of retirement for one last job. After a tense farewell with his grandfather, he meets Cassie, his concerned mentee, who warns that their criminal ties are fraying and gives him a backup plan if things go south. The pickup? A chained black suitcase from a spider-like man on a ghostly L train, due at Omnicorp Tower by midnight. But as soon as Oliver steps off the train, everything unravels. Threats, sabotage, a spider in his trunk, and a brutal ambush by suited enforcers that leaves him battered, limping, and hiding in a bar bathroom. As he catches his breath, the suitcase starts to vibrate violently, pulling him into a trance and triggering a haunting flashback, ending with the voice in his head screaming his name. Oliver, you have just heard your name screamed in your head, and you know that it was not your voice. You feel instantly sick. Your skin looks pale as you're looking at your hands and your arms. Where did that voice come from?
He will check his phone to see if, like, he butt-dialed somebody or if someone called him and he accidentally picked up. Did the voice sound recognizable at all?
It did not. It was just loud, gravelly, but clear. And it sounded panicked, like it was trying to get your attention.
Yeah, he'll immediately check his phone, and he's going to take, like, a piece of his shirt, like, kind of tear at a piece of his shirt to kind of, like, wrap around his very broken ankle. That's the heavier wound right now than the knee. The knee, he knows some painkillers might help with later, but because it's mechanically a wound, the ankle, that's what he's going to try to alleviate some of that pain. And, and I think he's going to hesitate to reach out to Cassie, because as soon as he grabbed the suitcase, things have gotten really rough, and he knows he could call her for help if he really needed to, but he's also worried, based on the spider motif of the burner phone, the spider left in his destroyed and looted car, he's having a hard time trusting that Cassie would actually help.
Your phone rings.
Does it show me who it is?
Blocked.
In the event it's the client, he has to answer. So he takes a moment, takes a deep breath, counts quickly to 7, and answers.
A voice you recognize. Cold and sharp. Definitely Perrazzo.
Valentine, we know you got the package, and we know who you care about. What's his name? Tobias.
And you hear faintly in the background,
Hey, Tommy, calm down. Stop hitting the man.
It's kind of low for you, picking on someone weaker than you.
Listen, I'm not above old people, women, children. We get the job done, okay? No questions asked. If you're looking for a conscience, you're talking to the wrong person, okay?
Your family robbed me of a conscience years ago, so...
He's safe for now. You want him to stay that way?
What do you want? Make it clear to me. None of your vague bullshit, like leaving spiders in my car and cutting my tires.
That was good. That was a good one. Be at the elevated skyway on the old pedestrian bridge by Omnicorp Plaza, 11 p.m. Suitcase in hand. Don't be late. And don't try anything clever. His life for the case. No tricks.
Then the line cuts out. You look at the clock. Where did the time go as you're looking at your phone? Somehow it's already 10:30.
He swears at himself, realizing he might have blacked out for a moment from the pain of getting in the stall and disappearing from the world for a little bit. And is the suitcase still vibrating?
It seems to calm down. Just a slight hum. But as you stop looking at it, that sick feeling goes away. But you're still kind of shaky, still sweating a bit. The feeling of wanting to throw up is not as strong. You take 1d4 stress.
Okay.
From the call, from the paranoia of the suitcase, from the voice screaming in your head, all of it is starting to just build up.
Okay. Would you say that because I was able to get to a safe place that my stability of hit points came back?
Hit protection?
Yeah.
Yes, I would say so.
Okay. So let me go ahead and roll the d4. So I'm just saying, so this won't immediately put me in a bad spot.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, a two. That's okay. We can work with a two.
Okay.
Yeah, Oliver's having a hard time juggling with that. He knows that this meeting point that she just gave him is near where he needs to drop the suitcase off, but he needs to be there an hour earlier and fast.
You know that the elevated skyway, especially with all the people and the traffic, it's going to take at least 45 minutes. And it's already 10:30. And you know the city, so you know it's pretty bad trying to get around now.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a car, and now he also doesn't have money.
And he has a broken ankle.
But what he does have is some locksmith tools, so...
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Faith in... Oh, no, he's got...
His Lord and Savior.
Yeah, his Lord and Savior. I feel as though, due to his superstitious background, he's very much like that character from the first Mummy movie where he carries all these different sort of, effigies and prayers and good luck charms. Like, his mm-hmm. car keys have, a rabbit's foot, a four-leaf clover, the hand, the evil eye hand, all that stuff is on there just because of just feeling as though he's always been cursed. And this night has been no different. So I think the first thing he needs to do is he has to be able to get to the plaza fast and at least continue to have some sort of protection between himself and whoever else is after him. Because he noticed that Stephanie didn't mention anything about the guards coming after him. She just mentioned that they were responsible for doing his car. So,
and you would also notice, you've seen the way the Perrazzos usually dress. They're not that... formal.
Yeah, no, they were too highbrow looking. And
yeah.
So he knows there's at least two interested parties, both of which could easily kill him or his grandfather or anyone else he tries to pull into this. So I think the first thing he's going to do is he's going to peer out of the bathroom, cold water on his face, count to seven. And he's going to linger back out towards the streets to see and try to see if he can spot any vehicle.
So you can see a lot of vehicles parked on the side of the roads. You see that there is a tow truck that is pulling a lot, and loading cars up and moving mm-hmm. them out of the way that aren't supposed to be parked in certain places. So you see that happening. And again, very busy as it's getting closer to midnight. So it seems like the night is just getting even more and more electrified and keyed up. People are just getting more wild. But you do see some cars along the way. But once again, as it gets closer to midnight, the streets start to fill up even more and more. So you can get to a car, but getting out of here is going to be difficult. You're kind of like where the L train is at. It's kind of like downtown and dense. So if you can get out, you could possibly just speed to the elevated skyway and the plaza quicker.
Yeah, that seems to be the only option because public transit would be moot right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no way he can walk it, especially on a broken ankle. So his only option is to find a small enough car, something that's not too bulky,
yeah,
and break into it with his tools.
Yeah, we're going to say roll a d20. If it's over an 11, you find a truck.
Okay.
Just like a Ford 450, like just large.
Something someone who lives in the city shouldn't have.
Yeah, you're like, why is this even here in the first place? Doesn't make any sense. But it's a truck, but it's like a work truck. So you see it's people who are just like painters or someone who's working for the night for the New Year's celebration.
Yeah.
So it's people who are like taking stuff out and decorations. So it looks like it's a type of company that's doing work for the night. 11 and under, you find a car similar to yours. It's bright yellow. But very, very tiny. It looks like a little speedster.
Yeah.
Looks like a little Honda.
I don't know why, but Oliver's decided he hates the color yellow.
You all just right. Had a visceral reaction.
Yeah, I think it's just yellow.
God damn it.
Yep.
But yeah, let's just do that. Go ahead and roll a d20.
I have rolled a 5.
Perfect. You pull up, you see this little tiny yellow car. Little old, looks like it's maybe a 95 Ford. Honda Civic.
It's not a hatchback.
No, not a hatchback. It is locked, though.
Yeah, so I'm willing to utilize my tools, my locksmith tool slot, to break into the car. And the years of work he's had, he knows how to, like, hotwire a vehicle.
I'll say you could have done. No need to roll. You have the years of experience, you have the tools, and soon enough, you are able to jimmy it open.
Okay. Very quickly, you know, he waits for, you know, the fewest amount of eyes on him, and he leans against it, drops down a little bit, and goes to work, breaking into the car from the passenger side, lumbering over into the driver's seat, reaching underneath the wheel, getting into the control panel, and connecting wires to cause it to start.
Eventually, you hear this kind of little small sigh of relief after everything that's happened so far this night as the car starts up. You hear it start. And you got it started, but again, there's just a lot of people walking on the sidewalk. Now people are kind of like walking in the street. So now the streets are packed. As you see like a huge kind of just mob of people are going to like the center of downtown for the main attraction. So it's kind of like a parade of people you have to get through. How do you want to get through them?
I'm thinking is either to try and take the back roads and risk losing some time that way, or I could be that asshole in parties and honk the car obnoxiously, but that puts attention on
him. The obnoxious route is faster.
It is, isn't it?
But it is more loud. You have like a loud, just like, here I am, everybody.
I think Oliver needs to get to where he's going as fast as possible and potentially try to make a desperate phone call on the way. So he needs that time. So I think we're going to go driving towards the crowd and driving towards the back roads. The back roads, he has to turn right.
Yeah.
The obnoxious route.
You see that there's like an alleyway where there's not as many people. There's like someone throwing up into a trash can. You see, and like, it's like these two drunk girls and one of them is like holding the hair of the other as she's like just guts out into a trash can off to the side. So it's just them two, but you can go through the alleyway.
Okay, you know, classic New Year's Eve. But he looks to the left, turning left, goes into the crowd. But if he can just suffer through that, he could get to the exit onto the highway much faster.
Yep.
And he grips his left hand, and he's going to turn left. Turning left has been his thing.
Okay, so you are driving. I'm going to need you to roll a dex save. This is just you trying to be deft enough to, you're just honking at these people, trying to get them out of the way, see how fast they are, and not run somebody over and kill them or, you know, anything, just bodily harm. Yeah.
Of course. I would have been so much more comfortable with this when my dex was at a nice, healthy 16. But
16.
But now it's an 8. So let's see what happens. I've never been so happy to see single digits rolled on a d20. So I have rolled a 4, which is a success.
Okay, so you are able to maneuver the car through these people. You're honking. People are like, hey! They're like, fuck you, Bao, and like hitting the car. But you're just like, meh, meh, like just hand on the horn. People are angry and like having to like move their drunk friends out of the way. But eventually, you're able to get out. Because of the traffic, even like you did make it through, it does slow you down a little bit. So you know that usually it takes about 40, 45 minutes, especially because traffic here is crazy. But the farther you get out of downtown, traffic lessens. But still, your foot's on the gas? Are you going like, how fast are you going?
He's going as fast as he possibly can. I think just the pent-up stress,
yeah.
The pain in his foot, which is his gas foot. This is the right foot. So that's making it so much harder. Yeah. So he really can't go any slower than what he's doing right now. He's trying to just get there as fast as possible just to numb the pain in his foot. And I think he doesn't want to, but he's going to try and call Cassie.
Okay. So you call Cassie and she picks up.
Hey, pal. How you doing? How's your night going so far?
I think you already know the answer, Cassie.
What do you mean?
Well?
Oh, God, don't tell me.
I'm currently in a yellow sedan, driving like a fucking maniac after some guys broke my fucking ankle and nearly split my kneecap open. And then I get a lovely call from Stephanie, telling me that she now knows where I live and has my grandfather at the throat. Now I need you to tell me right the fuck now. Are you playing me?
The thought has already come into your head that you know that Cassie's the only one that knows where you and your grandfather live.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you ask her?
Are you playing me? Even though he knows the answer, he wants to hear her say it.
I want the honest answer.
You hear that there was a silent beat and then she finally answered.
I have no choice, Oliver. I tried to warn you, okay? I'm sorry that you have to learn this way, okay? I told you. I fucking told you that they would... You know how they are. And it was either my brother or... God damn it, don't make me say it.
Nah, you've already done enough. But, I get it. This is exactly why you gotta get the fuck out.
Jesus Christ. Stop saying it like it's so easy. They have your fucking grandfather. They took my brother. They had a fucking gun to his neck and said, tell us where he is or he's dead. They cocked the gun. I'm sorry that I gave him away, but here I am staring at my brother. Jesus.
Cass, and... I listen, I'm just in a lot of fucking pain, so I'm not... I ain't mad at you, I'm mad at the fucking situation. Alright. They still got your brother, they got my grandfather. Oh, fuck. By the way, you know anything about some suits that are interested in this package, too? Because they're the ones that, gave me the bum leg. Very orderly types, corporate looking.
She says,
Peralta's don't wear suits, so we got another player on our hands.
Yeah, so even if I do agree to give Stephanie this suitcase, which I really don't want to make that bitch smile, but,
Wait. What the fuck is in this suitcase? Why do you have two different people following you? What are you delivering, Oliver?
It's part of the clientele. I don't ask.
Okay, I think you should ask at this point. You have a broken ankle, you're fine.
All right, you know what? I assume you probably know where the drop-off point is.
No, I don't know where the... What drop-off point? For this suitcase? For this package?
No, where I'm supposed to give it to her.
Oh, yeah, I know where it's at.
I'm gonna try to get there as soon as I can, but, being as my car was destroyed, I might be a little late, so if anything...
Wait, I'm... Okay, listen, I'm not far. If I show up with just some random... suitcase or bag. I think I can save you time, maybe?
maybe.
I'm close by. I'm 10 minutes out, and it is 10:45. So.
And you know that you won't get there. At least you have another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you what. You do that, and we get this sorted out. I'm gonna give a call to see if I can get an idea of what the fuck is in this suitcase. And
He's like trying to figure out, racing through his mind what he can do, because if he's now putting Cassie at risk.
I'm 10 minutes away. I can show up with the suitcase. I'll lock it. I'll say, this is the suitcase. You guys need to figure it out. And I'll take your grandfather and we'll go.
You always were smarter than me.
Just let me get it done. They're stupid. Okay. Apparently, everybody wants a suitcase, but nobody knows what's in it.
That is true. Well, now I know your phone's not bugged, because if you called her stupid and she heard it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have any fingers.
How about this, then? You text me. You text me, Ollie Oxenfree, if she buys it, or text me, Happy New Year, if she doesn't buy it.
Okay. Keep your phone on.
You too. Good luck.
Bye.
And she hangs up. But you got some time. Your ankle is absolutely killing you. You could feel the swelling.
Oh, yeah.
Going around. Yeah.
Would I have a number for the client?
The client contacted you. You have no number for them.
Hmm.
You just got the information and, like, how much they were going to pay you.
Okay.
And you gave over, like, your banking information or wherever the money was going to be transferred. So that was, like, the main two points of communication. But other than that, you don't have any official way.
Okay. Were there firm instructions to not open the suitcase that was given to me?
No, there were no firm, like, explicit instructions, but it is locked.
I have locksmith tools. And
you could try, but you'd have to, like, pull over and try.
Yeah. Well, if Cassie is going to at least buy me some time, I can absolutely just pull off onto one of the rest stop areas or, like, just something and sit with the light on and open it up just so I have an idea of what's inside. Because if it's something that I can tangibly say, I can try to message Cassie real quick being like, oh, it's some sort of weird shoes or something like that, just in case. And it has been bothering him because whatever's inside this suitcase has put him, his grandfather, now his friend and his friend's brother, all at risk. And things he's been having bad vibes about it since he got off the train and took it from the weird man who handcuffed it to his arm. And he's not breaking a rule on the contract. He wasn't told he can't open it.
So you pull over. This is one of those highways that have, like, a large patch that people can pull over if they're ever tired.
Oh, yeah, rest stop.
Yeah, so like a literal rest stop. It's not one where that has... It's like where truckers pull in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. It's like, yeah.
So you pull over there and you... Car goes in park. Try to unlock it. This one is hard.
Okay.
This one doesn't have a regular key. Like, you're trying to... Like, you see that there is, like, a hole for, like, a key, but then you're using the tools and getting it in between, and it's just not budging. And the more that you're trying, the more sick you feel. That feeling comes back.
Okay.
And you feel it in your neck when, you know, when you want to throw up and you can kind of feel it coming up.
Yep, I know that feeling.
That feeling is violently strong right now. The more you try.
Am I any closer to, like, figuring out the lock if I sort of persevere through the nausea?
The nausea is very strong. You have a feeling this is more of a puzzle to get into rather than just a normal key.
Hmm. Okay. So he's going to take a second, take a deep breath. He's going to count to seven. He's going to, like, do the Fonzie move and just sort of smack the side of it.
It doesn't open. You're looking at the suitcase, correct?
He's looking at the suitcase. He's just smacking the flat side of it, being like,
come on, vibrate, do something. What the fuck is worth all this money?
Same thing happens again that happened in the bathroom of the bar. You're looking at the suitcase. It feels like your brain is being squeezed. And you feel that pressure in your head. And once again, you hear that voice scream your name.
Oliver!
The fuck you want? Who are you?
Blades. You take 1d4 stress.
Of course I do.
That's and you could tell me if you could tell me if you throw up or not, but the nausea is strong. Like, you feel like it's gonna come up.
Okay, I've rolled a 2, so that puts me 1 point away from being at full again. And I think he does. I think getting frustrated with it, he kicks open the door. He vomits outside of the car, takes a second to get some fresh air, and I'm gonna.
Suitcase does feel heavier, like noticeably.
Heavier than when I first had it.
Yeah. So you originally had it, felt maybe 5 to 8 pounds. It feels like it's closer to 20. Like, you have a small, maybe like a toy-sized dog weight or a mini.
A dumbbell.
You're like, oh. Yeah, you're like, oh, God. Like, your arm starts to slag a little bit by the weight now that's with it.
All right. If I piss off the suitcase, it gets fatter and heavier. Okay. All right.
Not to body shame the suitcase, just...
It smacks you for calling it that.
Yeah, he deserves that. He's gonna get back in the car, and he's gonna start driving over this... He will, I think, smoke from his pack of cigarettes to kind of cool himself off, focus his brain, and, as he's driving, just smoke it, throw it out the window, as he's just gonna try to make up for lost time, and... He's going to text Cassie, spirals. Don't know what's inside, but that's what, something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with this suitcase, spirals.
My name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is now 11:10.
Okay.
You finally pull up. You get there, outside the plaza. You're waiting. How's he feeling as he's waiting?
He's extremely stressed out. He wants to try to open this suitcase again, but it's just like the thought of vomiting again and making him more vulnerable in this situation than he already is seems like a bad idea. He absolutely would try to scope out as best as he can to see if he can, you know, has the drop-off point, but also knows that he's right near the building that he needs to go drop the suitcase off at as well. So he's looking for any sign. He keeps looking at his phone, checking it to see if Cassie texts him back anything. He's waiting for to hopefully hear Ollie Oxenfree, which I believe was the good one. Happy Valentine's Day is the bad one.
Yeah, so...
No, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah. So every minute that passes feels like 10 minutes. So as 11:15 comes, 11:17, 11:20, and then you hear a ping on your phone.
Immediately looks at it.
You get the code word from Cassie that all is good.
Ollie Oxenfree. Okay.
And you start to see two people. It looks like one man and a feminine figure. He's like holding on to her. And you realize that is Cassie and your grandfather. He's limping out. They're coming down like a large flight of stairs, and you're parked nearby.
Mm.
And you start to see Escalades pull in as well.
Around me or around them?
Around you. They're not fully, but you just start to see them make their way into the parking lot of the plaza. And so they're not at your car yet. But you know who they're looking for. You have that feeling immediately.
They're looking for me. They're looking for me. And so that means that they didn't buy the suitcase. They didn't buy it from Cassie.
That's not the Perrazzo's cars.
It is not. Okay. Is it possible for me to drive over to them? Are they in the parking lot as well?
To the Escalades?
Yeah. Oh, no, to Cassie and Toby.
They don't see you just yet. It's a large flight of stairs. So it's like flight of stairs, and then there's a walkway, another flight of stairs. So it looks like she's like helping him down. He's kind of like limping. Yeah, okay. so he needs help, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be under the belief that Cassie probably has a way to get him out of there. If they bought it, that means she can at least get away before they realize that they've been had. So if anything, he just needs to get out of this. So realizing that he might be getting tailed, Oliver is going to spin his car around. And I think he's going to... This is so dumb. This is so wild. I think he needs to get to the Omnicorp building. He could just drive through the front door with it. Or drive all the way up onto the concrete where the entrance is and sort of like use his car to block the way in, where his driver's door opens into the main door, so that if anything, it'll at least be a hurdle for these guys to get around to make up for the fact that he's moving at a much slower pace than he would want to. So I think that's what he would like to do.
So drive straight into the Army Corps building.
Correct.
Okay, so you do still need to get out of this parking lot. OmniCorp is close by. You still got to get out. And you see that these cars have been, obviously they're here for you, so they're watching you. The lights are on.
Yeah, he's gonna move. They're waiting for me.
They have driven in. Okay. So, and you see, four cars, just, lights on, all at you.
How wild would it be to, try to drive off the top and try to, hope the car land safely?
Pretty wild, but I would encourage it.
Yeah, I think he's going to do that. I think because he's not going to expect them to do that. He tightens up his seatbelt. He knows that this is going to be rough. And he estimates, if he can land safely, the car will be banged up, but it'll still be safe. And also, it's not his car, so it's not his problem.
I'll let you know right now. Whatever the turnout, your ankle's going to get worse.
If he can make this payday, he can pay for a new friggin' robot leg.
Okay, so this roll right now is just to see if this stunt works.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So it's going to be a dex roll.
Oh, man, I really wish my dex was still 16. All right, let's do it. Nope. That is a 13. My original dex would have made it, but that's a failure, so.
You see them, they're revving their Escalades. As you tried that stunt, one of them goes to smash into your side of the driver's side, and you can feel the crunch and going to hit your arm. So I'm gonna roll a d6 for that damage as the car collision T-bones your yellow car. It's not out of commission, but you can feel immediately the metal digging into your arm.
Okay. Ouch.
And you take 5 damage. That is physical. Where's your strength at now?
That would drop it to a very, very brave, a very impressive 5.
Okay. So that was one of the cars. Mm-hmm. There are 4 of them. So you see another one comes up behind you. And it is the second one pushes the back of your car. So you kind of lurch forward. But now that they're moving, there is an opening for you. And you can see you can go the normal way out of the parking lot.
Gonna do it.
You have to whip a right to get to OmniCorp.
He's gonna do he's gonna do the whip around he's 20 years younger. And he's gonna zip out of there. No, definitely feeling so much pain, but he's just pushing through because he's just saying he's got to finish the job, and he also needs to. There's a bit of he's definitely terrified. He doesn't know who these people are. He's never encountered this type of people before, and he doesn't know how to anticipate them. He can anticipate the family. He can anticipate basic law enforcement. He can anticipate up and coming goons and kids who start stuff, but he doesn't know how to anticipate these guys. And they have put the fear of God back in him. That was already there, but worse.
So I'll let you know, when a car rams into yours, they both take damage.
Okay.
So their car took damage as well. So you see that one that kind of like T-boned you, like stops moving. You see a lot of smoke come up.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, your little car is just a trooper and can't continue to make it. But you do hear like a clicking noise inside.
Great. That means you can't slow down.
Yeah. Yeah. So you hear that clicking noise as you're trying to speed up. There's car chase mechanics. We won't get too in the weeds of it. I'll just kind of, we'll do GM Fiat for right now.
Yeah.
But you're trying to get farther away from it. So I need a dex roll, and it's going to be against, I'm going to roll dex for them.
Oh, perfect. Oh, dang it. That is a 13, which again, because of the damage I took, that's a failure.
That is a failure. So I'm going to roll dex for them. They roll an 8. And so once again, another car gets on the right side. Yours is jostled to the left. And your ankle just kind of explodes. The pain is bright behind your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel it in your body. You're going to take 1d4 of damage, physical.
Oh, it's only one. It's only one.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to try to keep in... Would this be against my strength again?
Yes.
Okay, so my strength is at 4. That's not looking so great, because that's the one that's attached to whether or not I die. So I do need
okay,
to do a...
Okay, then...
We need to do a
yes,
crit
make a yes, make a strength save. I forgot to ask for that.
No worries. That's a 9. That's a failure. So that's a wound.
So... I know this is a horror game.
Do it.
And so I'll say it.
Do it.
Your ankle is pretty much hanging from the bottom half of your leg. So you feel it, not just your ankle, but you feel big toe and the toe like right next to it in here as
yep.
the second car goes in.
Yep,
this foot is getting obliterated.
I was actually about to put obliterated foot.
How does he feel as this pain is shooting through his body?
Oliver can't think straight. He is in so much pain. The only thing he can think to do is to keep... He's got to run. He's got to get somewhere safe. And the only place he can think of that safe is his drop-off point, because they said once he gets there, he'll know. So despite the smashing to the vehicle, he's going to try to do it. He's trying to kind of stick with his plan. And I think, depending on if you allow Makar to get there, I have an idea of what I'm going to do.
Okay. So you just need one more dex roll, so it's back to you.
Okay.
You're still just trying to escape them. And you are looking at the clock, leg, foot just falling apart. I'll let you know you can no longer use that right foot.
I'll be
hobbling. Like, you can't even, like, the movement that you would need to, like, push down pressure on the gas pedal is not working on the right foot. Like, you can't even...
Oh, I'm doing that awkward foot shuffle.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're going to have to do the dex roll and hope to any of the gods that they are... One of them's listening to him. And he's going to put his hand on the fucking suitcase and through his teeth and tears and blood coming out, like, out of his mouth. You better be fucking worth it.
Man.
That is a 10, which, again, is going to be just a failure.
I'm going to roll their dex.
Okay.
And once again, the other car hits you. They took damage. You kind of see it spin off. So now it's just one more car against yours.
Yeah. It's all right.
I rolled a 2. And so your car is damn near totaled. As this one is going to...
Hit the back, yeah.
Hit the back of your car, and you feel like one of the wheels start to wiggle wildly. This car is on its last legs. Like, mechanically, let's say it started off with 6 HP. It is now down to 1.
Okay.
When it gets down to 0, car is completely totaled.
How close have I gotten to at least the front door?
You're still about 5 minutes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think... What he's going to do is he's going to, he's going to use his tools to kind of overclock the car to, like, kind of, this is, again, we're in one-shot territory. So,
yeah.
Ideally, what Oliver wants to do here is he knows he's kind of screwed until he gets to that drop point. Whatever is in the suitcase, whatever weird spirally thing is happening, he is going to put it against his chest to keep it safe. And he's going to push the car forward. And as soon as it gets to the door, he's going to slam on the brakes. He's going to tuck and roll out of the car, take his lighter from his cigarette case, and throw it against the car so that anything behind him explodes.
Okay.
Or catches fire and then explodes.
Yeah. One last dex roll just for this entire plan to work.
Yay. Nope. That's a
Jesus.
17. Wow, the dice didn't get the assignment today.
Gods are sleeping on you right now.
That's all right. They were nice to me early on, so they had to get back at me.
I will say that you are able to smash your car through the front door of Omnicorp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like these large glass, tall, like 10, 12 feet, double wide doors. So you're able to easily get into and you fly into the lobby. The part that doesn't work is just like the lighting it up.
Yeah,
so you're able to tuck and roll out.
The lighter
and you
fails.
See like the last. Yeah, yeah.
It's that you're moment like, in a horror movie where like you're desperate to turn on. It's just not, the lighter's not working. It's like, fucking Zippo.
You're just trying and it's not catching. And you see the last Escalade has like skidded to a stop.
Is there an elevator or something in here that I can hobble to?
Oh, yes, there is. You're trying to hobble out. You've smashed through. There are two men, once again, crisp suits, walk out. And you see they have pulled out their batons. And this time you see like some like electrical current around them and you can hear it. I need you to roll dex as you enter into combat.
Okay.
We need to see who goes first.
Before I roll, he will, as he gets into the main lobby, he's going to start screaming,
I'm here! I'm here! Help me, please! I'm here! I have what you want! Please!
Oh my god. That is an 18. The last two rolls would have failed even at my max dexterity.
So the aggressors are able to go first, and you see them, they're not running at you because you actually physically probably can't run right now.
Nope.
You have a broken ankle. You have two of your toes that are positively broken as
well. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not running, but you see a swift walk. They swiftly walk up to you. One is holding your shoulders. The other one tries to take the suitcase and tries to yank it. And then they see the chain attached to your wrist. And they're pulling and pulling, and you feel the chain digging into your wrist as the skin starts to scar and stretch. That cuff is tight.
Mm-hmm.
Please roll 1d4 damage for me as you feel your wrist beginning to dislocate.
That is 4. All right. Yep, he's screaming. He's in pain. I think he's still screaming, I'm here. If there is an action he can take, I think there's only one thing he can think to do. He is going to try to jam his knife into the suitcase to open up whatever's in there. Because...
Okay.
Well, because his knife isn't going to stop them. He's in so much pain. He's not thinking clearly. He knows that something is up with this suitcase. There's something deeply wrong with it that causes him to nauseate. And it's doing something where it's getting heavier and imposing. And he's getting more tired. And he's thinking, well, the only thing I can do... He's essentially done what he was told to do. He brought it here. It's here. So...
And you hear... And the elevator door opens.
Okay.
So you see it right ahead of you. But your wrist is still being pulled. And so it's already... You hear like a sharp, like, snap of your wrist as it dislocates.
All right.
And it will soon be broken as he keeps pulling, and you hear as he's pulling and pulling. I will let you go. You can take an action to try to loose yourself from these two guys and just book it to the elevator, or you can try to stab the suitcase.
If I stab the suitcase, I just hit it and I just roll damage.
Yes, and technically you'll still be entangled with these two guys. So.
You know what? Oliver's lived his whole life feeling like he's been cursed, like he's doomed to some sort of fate, because it's what his grandfather said, it's what his father said, his mother, his brothers, his sisters. Everyone has said that their family's cursed. and he feels that no more strongly than in this moment. So I think in this moment, despite the fact I haven't taken any damage to control, I think all the physical harm that he's taken in this moment spills him over the edge, and he, instead of fighting against this curse, whatever it is that's on him, he's going to just embrace it. He's going to just say, fuck it, to everything, and say, if you want it, it's down here. And he's going to stab into the suitcase to open up whatever is inside.
You're going to stab into the suitcase?
Mm-hmm.
What's the damage?
That is a... just like my strength and my dex currently, it is a big, strong, very brave, very unhinged 4.
4 damage gets taken to the suitcase, and it spills open. And from it, you see a large tornado of black smoke is starting to come from the inside of the case as you open it up. And it immediately, like the wind of it, pushes all 3 of you back.
And Oliver knows not to look at it, so he's not going to look at it.
And they turn to look at it. You start to see thick black liquid fall from their eyes as it looks like they're hypnotized by it, and they fall to the ground.
He's going to crawl to the open elevator.
And then the wind of the suitcase stops, and it shuts back on itself, like clamps back down.
He's going to pull it with him because it's still attached to him, technically.
Yeah.
So he's going to be pulling it and bring it inside the elevator, shut the door.
Going up.
And he's having one of those moments where all he can do is laugh because he's in so much pain. He's so terrified. He doesn't understand what's happening. So all he can do in this moment is kind of do one of those laugh, sob sort of situations where... Just to try to trick himself into saying he's not broken in more ways than one.
Are you standing in the elevator? Have you like slumped to the side?
Oh, he's slumped. Sitting? He can barely stand. He's slumped.
You are exhausted. You have been bruised, beaten. Your body is just spent, sweaty. You're utterly done with this night. You have the suitcase. It's still chained to your wrist. And you feel that pulse again. It's thrumming with a low, incessant vibration. Kind of resonates deep in your bones, and you feel that heaviness once again. You kind of see a digital clock inside the elevator. It's 11:59.
He presumes that he needs to bring this to the top floor. So he hits the top button, just so he can also just have that much time inside the elevator to... let out all the frustration, all the fear, all the emotions he's been bottling up. There is also a bit of relief because he knows at least Cassie and his grandfather Toby got out of the situation. So, because clearly the escalades only went after him. So, and he did it. Despite everything, despite the completely destroyed foot and knee, and his arm is definitely destroyed, he did it. He got the job done. The laugh does turn to a bit of a blissful joy.
You eventually get to the top floor. It's the 20th floor. And it opens up. And it opens up into... a large, like, meeting room? Like, there's no, like, hallway you walk into. It just opens straight into a large, empty meeting room. Large glass windows overlooking the city.
Yeah.
And you see just a little table at the end of the room.
Hello? I'm here. Right on time. As promised.
And he's gonna, like, crawl. He's putting all the weight on his one good knee, and is kind of just like walking like an adult pretending to be a child, walking on his knees, kind of doing that because that's really the only way he can really mobily move. So he's doing that, like holding the suitcase against his chest to kind of put all the weight of it on his upper body, which isn't as bad. And yeah,
I'm here. I did what you asked.
There's no one in here. But you know without a shadow of a doubt there is a presence in here. and it's heavy. It feels familiar. Has this been following you your entire life? Is this the moment of reckoning?
He flashes back to that moment when he should have died. He was 18 and got into a bad situation with some young thugs, who one of which pulled a rifle on him. And in that moment, he looks at his shadow, because back then he put his head down, looked at his shadow, and it looked as though his shadow animated off the wall of the alleyway and got in front of him. He remembers hearing the bullets go off, but he was completely unscathed, and the thug who had unloaded the clip of bullets was riddled with them, as if they almost ricocheted off of his shadow or him, and right back at this creature, right back at the thug. So I think in that moment, he's looking at his shadow again, as he always does when he feels a bad vibe, just to see if his shadow moves with him or out of sync.
Right now, it looks like it's moving with you. Are you moving closer to the small table at the end?
Yeah, he wants to get to one of those chairs.
Okay. You can see there is a large clock downtown, and you see it flash. And the city erupts. You can see you're high up above the city. You can see fireworks explode overhead, painting the sky in these blinding, beautiful, terrifying, like, bursts of light. And you can hear slightly the scream of the crowd in joy.
Yeah.
It's the total antithesis of what you're feeling at this moment as you're looking over the city.
Alone, in pain, isolated, looking at the whole world celebrate, and just really sits home this sort of mantra of, I've been cursed since I was born, just like my father before me and his father, and so on. Just another reflection of that.
And so the once flawless black suitcase on your wrist as midnight is here. It kind of shudders quickly, but violently, and the chain on your wrist kind of pulls taut, and then you hear a sharp click, and the lock disengages off your wrist.
If it wasn't almost torn off, it would be relief, but I think it just hurts more.
The case swings open, silent, almost impossibly smooth the way it just opens up. This time there's nothing inside. There's no black wind or anything like that. No cyclone inside. It's calm. But it does open up.
He can't help but, just out of spite for the night he's had, he has to see. For just a moment, he knows that, like, he instinctually looks away for a moment, expecting the giant whirlwind to show up. But when it doesn't, he looks.
Inside, there is nothing. No money, no tech, no bio samples. Just a single folded piece of paper.
It's just sitting there?
Yes.
Is there anything written on it, or is it... Well, he's folded. So, with his good hand, his left hand, he picks it up and looks at it as he sits back in the business chair.
On the paper, as you try to awkwardly flip it open in your left hand, in simple handwriting, there are three words. Look behind you. Job is finally done. A huge thank you for listening to both parts of our liminal horror duet.
I'm your game master, Maia, and a massive thank you to Michael for bringing our very unlucky runner, Oliver, to life. We hope you enjoyed this dark little ride, and if you did, please leave a comment or review wherever you listen. It really helps us out. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.
And that's where we're going to end our mini-series for Liminal Horror.
Oh, man. Oh, the tension. Oh, my God. I can't believe he got through it.